so in your prayers as well. Talking about the statements of Jesus in John, the I Am statements, we're going to have two more after this week. I kind of consolidated two, so even though there were seven I Am statements that Jesus made in John, I made it into six, so that I can do Palm Sunday and Easter coming up after just two more weeks. But these statements, basically are telling, Jesus is telling people that he's God and what he does for us. They knew, all the people in those days, that the name of God was I Am. Back when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, or Moses asked, God, what's your name? And he said, I am who I am. And so when Jesus comes in with all these statements, he's trying to say, I am God, I'm the Son of God, you need to know who I am, you need to believe in me as life. And so we looked at the I Am statement that Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. We looked at he said, I'm the light of the world, that he was a good shepherd. And today we're looking at this great claim, which we need to hear today, and that is, I'm the resurrection and the life. All of us are faced with death every day. On my news on my phone this week, the UN had put out that there's really a great humanitarian crisis in our world that we don't hear about very much, and that is there's a lot of people starving to death. Africa, Sudan, Kenya, there's 20 million people right now in danger of starvation. 20 million. You know, we play our political games, we're worried about that, but how about all these people that the world really needs to come together and help, or all these lives are going to be lost? It's a real big tragedy. And then we find every week people, young people even dying, like that teenage girl, I guess she was early 20s, driving home from a church function this week, right? And you heard that on the news. Another young man running away from the police at 100 miles an hour ran into her and killed her. There was another accident just recently, too, of another young person that was killed. And then this past, I think it was Friday morning, my daughter, who lives down by St. Louis, in the Illinois side of St. Louis, just a block away from their house, there was a fire. And so they saw 5 o'clock in the morning, fire trucks and all that going on, and came on the news. This was a family that had 7 kids. The kids ran down to Walmart just a little ways away to get help. One of the kids they couldn't find. They didn't think it was in the fire. Then shortly after that, there was a car that drove into the lake just like 15 minutes away. Turns out the father had been shot in the head by the mother in the house. She set him on fire. Then she took the baby, 3-month-old baby, in her car, ran it into the lake to kill it, and drowned. Fortunately, somebody, you know, saw that, went in, and when they were able to save the baby. Actually, the baby, there were 6 inches of air. The baby was floating on top in the water, and they saved the baby. So, and they found the mother 3 hours later in the lake dead. So now there's 7 kids, no parents. You know, what a tragedy, just a nastiness of life. And how can somebody do that, even try to burn your kids, throw them in the water? You know, it just... horrible, really, to think that people would do that. And yet we're faced with those kind of death situations every day, you know, in life and death, and where's hope? And Jesus gives us hope. You know, so in that dark world that we live, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm not about death, I'm about life. And we're going to read that story about how he raises Lazarus from the dead this morning out of John chapter 11. Let me give you a little background of what happens up to this point. You probably know the story. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are Jesus' good friends. They're hangout buddies. If Jesus is in town, he goes, stays there overnight, eats at their house. They're good friends. So Lazarus gets really sick. So Mary and Martha, they send for Jesus. They know he can heal people. They know he's done miracles. Come and heal Lazarus because he's really sick and he needs your help. So when Jesus hears about it, he says, I'm not going yet. I'm going to wait a couple days. God needs to be glorified through this. So when Jesus gets there, Lazarus is already dead. So this whole death scene comes in, and Jesus comes in, and it's in that area that he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. So let's read about it in John chapter 11, verses 18 through 27. It'll be up here on the screen for you. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. She's probably mad. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
"Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world." And you know what happens, of course. Jesus goes to the tomb, and he said, "Roll it back, the stone." And they said, "No, he's been there 4 days. He stinketh. You know, he's bad smelling." Jesus said, "Move the stone," and he called him out, right? And he calls Lazarus, "Come out," and Lazarus comes back from the grave, and he's raised to life, and everybody's amazed, and God's glorified because Jesus is showing that what he's saying, that I am the resurrection and the life, is true. Let's pray and ask God to apply this story to our hearts today. Maybe if we're feeling overwhelmed by death or hopelessness, he wants to encourage you that he is the life. Lord, we're all in this trap of death. We're heading that direction. We need hope. And so I pray that you would give us hope today through this story that you are the life and that you would instill new life in each of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to share with you this morning the problem that had defeated them, these people, the promise that Jesus declared, the plan and the plea that Jesus delivered unto them as well. But first of all, let's look at the problem. It's death. But it wasn't just death, was it? You know, it was, "If you had been here, Jesus, my brother wouldn't have died." Have you ever felt like that? God, where were you in this? Why did you allow this girl who was serving you, had her whole life ahead of you, to go home from a church function and get hit by somebody driving 100 miles? Why did you? Could have been anybody. Why did you allow that? You ever been there? Why did you allow that baby to die? It wasn't the baby's fault. Why, you know, how could somebody take these kids and try to burn them in a fire? I heard this week, too, that there was an orphanage in Guatemala a week ago Wednesday. 22 girls died in that fire, in an orphanage. I mean, they're already orphans. Now they die in a fire. God, where are you? You know, we're faced with those questions sometimes that are real. You know, it's not just the death issue. It's, God, how could you allow it? Where are you in that? And Jesus in that says, you know, I'm still in control. I'm still the source of life. I know what I'm doing. You know, I imagine that these seven kids are going to be a lot better off than they were with their parents. You know, honestly, these guys had big, long records, drug issues, then domestic violence. This guy had been domestic violence. She probably freaked out, took it out on him. Somehow their grandparents are taking their kids, and probably they're going to be better off with their grandparents than they were with those people that were really unstable. You know, but we don't know the whys, and we don't understand all of that. So Mary and Martha, you know, they don't understand, why. Where were you, Jesus, in this death? Why didn't you come? But God had a plan that he'd be glorified. Sometimes God is glorified through somebody's death. Maybe this girl killed in an accident. She was already a Christian. She's on her way to heaven. Maybe somebody else's life's going to be changed because of that. We don't know it, but we know that somehow God's glorified. Maybe the guy driving the car will turn to God and be saved. Maybe that's God's plan. You know, are we willing even to be the person that loses our life early or goes through something traumatic because God wants to raise somebody else up? Because he has a plan, and his plan is to give people life, the most people possible to give life, not death. Satan's the author of death, but Jesus says, I'm the life, I'm the resurrection and the life, and I give life to people. I put a couple things that you already know about death. Death is an ugly event. I don't think it's ever pretty. It's always brings disillusionment, defeat. I mean, the sting of death is taken out for Christian, but it's still hard to lose people. You feel ripped apart. Death is a universal event. It happens to everybody. Hebrews 9:27 says all of us have a time. All of us are going to face death. All of us are going to come before our Maker. You know, Lazarus came back to life for a while. He faced death again. That's part of humanity. We're all going there. When I look in the mirror, I realize I'm getting closer all the time. I keep having these funerals of people. It means I'm getting closer all the time. And you are. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know whether we're going to live to be 101, like Bill's mom did. We don't know that. I mean, that's pretty good odds. We might be the 21-year-old in an accident. We might be something else that happens to us in a fire. We don't know. But God has a time, and God has a place, and we don't have to be afraid because we have him on our side. But death is an ugly event. It's a universal event, and it's often unexpected. I don't think Mary and Martha expected Lazarus to die. He probably would get better from this, and certainly Jesus would come and heal him. But in this case, it didn't happen. And sometimes we kind of overlook those things as well. I heard there was an old fable. Sometimes people think about, you know, death came me by surprise. And according to this old fable, a man made an unusual agreement with death. He told the Grim Reaper that he would willingly accompany him when it came time to die, but only on one condition, that death would send a messenger well in advance to warn him. The agreement was made, and weeks winged away into months and months into years. The one bitter winter evening, as the man sat alone thinking about all of his material possessions, death suddenly entered the room and tapped him on the shoulder. The man was startled, and he cried out in despair. He said, "You're here so soon and without warning." He said, "I thought that we had an agreement." And Death replied, said, "I've more than kept my part. I've sent you many messengers." He said, "Look at yourself in the mirror, and you'll see some of them." As the man complied, Death whispered, "Notice your hair. Once it was full and black, now it's thin and white. Look at the way you cock your head to listen to my voice because you can't hear very well. Observe how close you must get to the mirror in order to see yourself clearly. Yes, I've sent many messengers through the years. I've kept my part. It's too bad you didn't keep yours. Now, I'm sorry you're not ready for me, but the time has come to leave." Don't let death sneak up on you and catch you unprepared. We need to be ready. We never know when our time might come. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about the rich fool who was a farmer, and he made all kinds of money on his crops, and he had a bumper crop, and his barns were already full, and he had so much crop, he didn't know what to do with it. So he said, "I'm going to build bigger barns so I can store it." And Jesus said, "You're a fool, because tonight your life's going to be taken from you, and you're not going to have any of it." And Jesus said, "Why would you want to gain the whole world and lose your soul?" And yet there's a lot of people like that, spending their whole time, "How can I make more? How can I get ahead without taking care of the issue of their soul?" We can't let that go by. A mother was answering her young daughter's questions about why her daddy had died. And she said, "God sent for him." She explained, "And someday he will send for you and me. Nobody knows just when." Thinking about that for a moment, the child said, "Mommy, if we don't know for sure when God's going to send for us, we might not be ready." She said, "We better start packing now." And she was right. No one knows when God's going to send for us, but we do know how to wait for that day, and we do know how to be ready, just by accepting Jesus, who is the life, accepting what he did for us on the cross. We don't have to be afraid of death. You know, with all the death, with all these things, you know, you could go around being scared all the time. I'm not scared of death. I mean, I want to live for a while, but I'd rather live in heaven than here. I was telling Dave that, you know, people always think, "Well, I want to live my life here because I got more stuff to do." You know, heaven's so much better than here. And you think, "Well, I want to be close to my family." And I say, "You know what? You're going to be closer to everybody in heaven than you are here." You say, "Well, you know, they don't have giving and taking in marriage." So what if they don't have giving and taking in marriage? You're still going to be closer to your wife or your husband than you are here. There's no screens. There's no hidden. Everything's out in the open. Everybody's just truly who they are. You're closer. You feel closer to everybody, and everything's more joyful. There's no sadness. There's no pain. There's no hurt. It's a great party. You know, I wish I was going up there to heaven. I mean, it'd be a good time. Some of us just have to wait a little longer. But as Christians, you don't have to worry about death. You don't have to be depressed about death or worried about death, because Jesus says, "I'm the life, and I give life to you." So we all have to deal with that issue of death, and the world runs from it, they hide from it, but as Christians, we face it, and we know that there's better days ahead. So the problem that they were facing was death, but then Jesus declared his power. He says, "I have power over death." The one thing that we couldn't defeat, we're trying. You know, we try to get every medicine, see if we can get better. We try to see if we can find another world that we can live on forever. We can't. But Jesus defeated death. He rose from the death. He claimed to have power over the grave. He said, I can give life, I can take life, and he has that power. And then he proved it. I put on your outline ways he proved it. Jesus raised others from the dead. Jairus' daughter, Mark 5:41. The widow at Nain's son, Luke 7:11. Now Lazarus, John 11:43-44. He raised people from the dead, proved it, what he said. Jesus then promised to raise us from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. Those who follow Jesus will be raised again from the dead. And then Jesus raised himself from the dead. His horrible death on the cross and what he went through, he came back to life 3 days later to prove that he is the resurrection and the life. So Jesus declared victory over death. He had power. And then he gives us the promise. The promise declared here is, who's going to find it? We all want life. Is there anybody here that just wants to die and never live? I don't think anybody wants that. Jesus, here's his promise. This is what he says, who would be raised from the dead. He says, the one who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Our bodies are going to die, but if you believe in Jesus, you accept him, your spirit goes on living. So these people that's passed away, like Norma, like Lucille, like others that have been close to us, their spirit went on to heaven. They're continuing to live. They didn't die. Their bodies died, but later on, their bodies were going to be resurrected to a new body, and that promise is for us as well. I put what these promises mean on your outline for you. Jesus cures spiritual death. It's not just physical death. Jesus says, I will take care of that evilness inside you, that sin. You know, you don't have to live with guilt. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be down on yourself. You don't have to be controlled and in bondage. I love that story of Lazarus, too, when Jesus raised him from the dead, and he told him, loose him and let him go. And they had to take the bandages off. And that's what Jesus does for us. When he gives us new life, when we believe in him, sometimes we're wrapped up with things. Sometimes we're bound with things in our life, but Jesus can loose us and let us go. And we can live a life in freedom. We can live a life in joy in this life as well as the life to come. He helps us overcome spiritual death. And then he conquers death for his children, which means he takes the sting away. We know that it's painful to lose loved ones, but the sting's taken away because we know that there's life to come. And then there's the common requirement. How do we receive that? We receive the promise of Christ by believing on Jesus. You have to trust him alone. And I've listed these. I know you know all these, but let me just go through them quickly with you. Works will never get the job done. You can't do enough work. So many people think that they'll just put more money in the offering plate. They'll help their neighbor out. They'll stop and help someone along the road. They'll do something good for somebody, and they're going to earn their way to heaven. That doesn't do it. You can't buy heaven. It's not good enough. It's too valuable. You can't buy it. Your works aren't going to do it. Turning over a new leaf will never get the job done. So many people think, well, when I get my life straightened out, then I'll go to God. You're not going to get anything straightened out until you go there. He's the one that helps you. You know, he's the one that changes your heart. He helps you to improve. But turning over a new leaf, that doesn't get you to heaven. And religion will never get the job done. Religion is about what we do. But spirituality and Christianity is about what's been done for us in Christ. And so here's the key, number four. When you come to Jesus Christ, you will find that the job's already done. When you trust in Jesus, the job's done. I don't understand. It's God's plan. By putting my faith in Jesus and trusting him, that's where I find salvation. It's not about me. It's about my faith. It's about believing in him. And so here's the plea that comes to us then, because as Jesus says, I have power over life. I offer this to you. Here's the plea. He gives it to Martha, and he says in verse 26, do you believe this? You see, it doesn't matter what she has heard. It doesn't matter what she's seen. What makes the difference is whether she will believe it. Same thing with us. You've been in church all your life, you heard a million times. It doesn't matter what you've seen, it doesn't matter if you've seen miracles of healing, it doesn't matter, it's will you believe? Will you personally believe in Jesus for your salvation? And why is that important? A, it's the only plan that guarantees entrance into heaven. People are saying there's all kinds of other ways, but there isn't any. Acts 4:12 says there's only one name by which you can be saved, only one way that you get to heaven, that's Jesus Christ, the only sacrifice, there is no other. And it's the only plan that guarantees escape from sin and all of its baggage in our life. And see, it's the only plan that's endorsed by God. It's the only one that God accepts. It's his plan. We just have to believe and receive it. You know, if you think you're good enough to get to heaven, look at Nicodemus in John chapter 3 who comes to Jesus. He was a religious leader. He obeyed all the laws a lot better than we do. Knew all the scriptures a lot better than we do. Lived a spotless life according to their traditions. Jesus said, it's not good enough. He said, you got to be born again. You've got to believe in me. You've got to be saved by me because it's not good enough. Jesus died in our place. And when we accept Jesus and our sins are forgiven, then God looks at Jesus instead of us and he accepts us and we receive that salvation that we need. We've got to make sure that we're ready. I struggle with death and the fact that my brother has cancer, and they told him he's got 3 years to live. He's a year younger than I am, and I think that's awful too. He's got three teenagers, and they haven't graduated from high school yet. Just went in this week to be tested. They said, well, we can do this transplant thing of your cells, but it's not going to extend your life any.
It's going to make you really weak. Maybe you won't have to take chemo as long. So, you know, there's still 3 years, but he's kind of like in remission now, and, you know, we're praying it's going to go on longer than that. But he's going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. But, you know, are we going to give glory to God in the process? And we're going to let people know that our faith is real and we believe it. And we're going to stand true to the end. And we're all going to meet in heaven again, right? So it's good. You don't lose. You can't lose as a Christian. But if you're not ready, you lose. If God says your time's earlier, you lose. You know, you could be going home today and somebody's going to run a stop sign and hit you just like they did Melissa this week and you lose. But if you're ready, you don't worry. I don't worry. I'm not concerned. I'm free. And I'm rejoicing with all those people that's gone on to heaven because they're free. And that's the hope we have because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If you haven't, you know, made that commitment to Christ, and I imagine maybe everybody else here has, make sure that you do. It's not hard. I believe in you, Jesus. You know, the question comes to you. That's the application. Will you believe? Yes, Lord, I believe it. It's not about me. I'm not good enough. I need salvation. I trust what you did for me on the cross. I believe in you. And he said, then come on in. And let's just pray. But let's make it our commitment to share that grace and that hope with others who need it in our world today. Lord, it seems like we're all faced with death and some bad situations, and sometimes we pray and say, God, where were you? Where are you? And I don't understand why. And Jesus comes to us and says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And we say, well, yeah, someday we'll all rise, and we know that. And you say, no, I'll help you rise right now. And there may be somebody here today that's down or depressed or lonely or lost hope, and you said, I'll help them rise right now. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill our hearts with hope because you are life. You're not the giver of death. You're the giver of hope. And help us to share that with somebody else. There's people who think they have to be good enough to get to heaven. When they don't, they just have to believe in you. They just have to trust in you. If there's anyone here that hasn't made that commitment to you, help them even today to say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I need that hope. Give me life. That starts now, not just in eternity. In Jesus' name.